During the Lenten season, I'm inviting the parish to join me in prayerfully reflecting upon the theme, Beloved of God, a Redemptive Relationship. It's important always to call to mind that we are beloved of God. And at times people struggle with that when they deal with struggles. And we are approaching the 1 year mark in which we have been affected by the pandemic. It's lasted longer than we had expected. While there are hopeful signs of its abatement, it continues on. And such as this struggle and other struggles, people wonder at times, where is God in the midst of all of this? They even get tempted to wonder if God loves them. I have been surprised in almost 26 years of priestly ministry how people think that they are part of an exception clause to John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world except me. And I've had to tell them that there is no exception clause. But what does it practically mean that God loves us? God loves us, first of all, because he created us. He invites us into a relationship with him. The Bible says that God is love, not love is God. So God defines what it means to love and to be loved, to form and to foster healthy relationships. So first of all, God wants to share a relationship with us. God's made a decision to love us. God being God needs no one. But because God is love, God reaches out to his creation and invites us to be in a relationship with him. Practically, we believe that in love, we promote the good of the other for the sake of the other. So God is always working for our good, whether we can see it or not. What is a redemptive relationship? We see it in God's love for us. When the first human beings distrusted God, the disobedience brought in sin and death because fellowship with the very source of life was broken. But God has made a decision to love us that will never be taken away. And so God takes the initiative to invite us to be reconciled with him. We have been entangled in sin and death, and so God redeems us, in a sense, brings us back from that, provides the way for that. And so, during this series of sermons during Lent, we want to remember that the reason why Jesus comes to share in our humanity, undergoes his passion and death on the cross, rises from the dead, ascends into heaven, is because of his love for us. And we need to hear that again and again and again, because we're tempted again and again and again not to believe that God loves us, particularly during struggles. If Jesus was tempted by the devil, we will be tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted by the devil to dissuade Jesus from embarking upon his mission of redemption. And because of Jesus' bond of life and love he shares with his Father, and because of his love for us, he would never think of forsaking his identity and his mission. Satan wants to work the same thing in our own lives, but in union with Jesus, we do not want to forsake who we are in God, nor our inheritance from God. And that is why on this first Sunday of Lent, when people believe that they are beloved of God, they let God reign. Now, because we've had a lot of precipitation lately, I mean R-E-I-G-N. They let God reign. Jesus, in the gospel reading, after being baptized by John facing temptation by Satan. And then John the Baptist was arrested because he had challenged Herod and his unlawful marriage. Jesus proclaims the gospel of God. We heard this gospel reading several weeks ago, and I said that the gospel of God is Jesus himself, the one who proclaims why he came into the world, what he's going to accomplish in the world for the sake of humanity. The gospel of God is also the message he proclaims. So Jesus shows us in that message how we let God reign, which is a daily decision of love for God. God already loves us. We don't do these things to earn his love. He already loves us. It's a response to that love. We let God reign, first of all, by having a repentant mind. Jesus said, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. So, in cooperation with God's grace, we want to let go of those things that are not godly in our lives, particularly what rules our mind. That's why we're undergoing the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Those were the disciplines the Lord Jesus gave to us as acts of penance. And again, we're motivated by love to go through an intensive time of prayer, to engage in acts of self-denial, to practice works of mercy, to help us to purify the mind of those things that are not in keeping with being beloved of God. What controls our minds? Several years ago, the Pew Forum reported that Catholics who were surveyed were more readily wanting to declare their allegiance to their political party versus the tenets of the Catholic Church. The fact is that no political party, no cable network, no cable news network, I should say, no one else is the Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ, who proclaims his gospel and builds his church. And so we need to, during this Lent, ask, have we let God reign in our mind to influence our thoughts? Because it is through our thoughts that we make decisions. We form opinions. Are they in keeping with what the Lord teaches? So when we let God reign, a repentant mind is a regulated mind. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. Why does he say repent first? Why to have a repentant mind? Because we have to have the disposition to say, well, what God has to say is more important overall than anything else. And whatever else is said must be seen in light of what God says. And if it disagrees with what God has revealed, I'm not going to follow that. A repentant mind is a regulated mind. Now, some people don't like the word regulation. It sounds restrictive. It's good to have boundaries. That's why we have laws. We have to have boundaries there. You look at Liberty Road, which some people think is I-95. God help us if we didn't have any traffic lights on Liberty Road. I would never be able to leave this campus. We need boundaries. We need guidance. We need God's direction. When the first human beings did not want to follow God's direction, havoc came into the world. And so God reminds us, not in a sense of I told you so, but God says, I love you and I invite you to trust in me. To trust in me. Look at what happened when there was a lack of trust. Look in the scriptures when there were other biblical figures who did not trust that God's plan would unfold. And they got involved in things God never intended for them to get involved in. And he leaves that as a lesson for us as well. To have a regulated mind, to follow God's directions, we must be patient. As I've often said, love is not a feeling. It's wonderful to have feelings as a result of the loving relationships we enjoy. But a loving relationship is not going to be sustained only by feelings. It is sustained by the daily decision to promote the good of the other for the sake of the other. And there are times in which you will not feel like doing that. Jesus did not have good feelings carrying the cross. He did not have good feelings being crucified. And yet, he takes up his cross and is crucified because of his love for us. Because he would not abandon us to sin and death. And so, when we do not have feelings connected with our faith, it does not mean that we have lost faith. Some people have asked me about that. They think they have lost their faith. No. Maybe God allows that to happen as an invitation to see that faith is faith in God Himself. It's not faith in just the feelings, the good feelings He may give as a result of our faith. That God is loving us whether we have feelings or not. That God is working for our good whether we can trace how He is doing it at that time or not. And it's important for me to emphasize that over and over again, because the temptation of the enemy is to say, you cannot see how God is working for your good. Why should you be faithful to God? Why don't you just take up what you think you should be doing right now? Oh, I know God taught that, but you know, you don't know what He's doing right now, so can you really trust Him? The original trick of the enemy to the first human beings, can you really trust Him, is the same thing he uses over and over again for humanity. A repentant mind is a regulated mind that says, I'm going to be governed what God teaches me through the ministry of His church. The Word of God given to us in sacred scripture and the living apostolic tradition. We let God reign when we have a repentant mind. When we have a regulated mind, regulated by the gospel. Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. And then Jesus promises, then we have a renewed mind. When I preach these things, I preach to myself as well, but I imagine when I preach about these things, some people say, Father Harris, that is wonderful and lofty, but I don't think it's possible for me to have a renewed mind. You don't know the struggles that I've dealt with, etc. As if I floated out of heaven to become the pastor of Holy Family Parish. I know I didn't float out of heaven. My mother certainly knows that. And maybe some parishioners know that. Don't declare impossible what God has declared to be possible. The Lord Jesus walks in Galilee and continues to walk into our lives to declare, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And another temptation of the enemy is to say, it's impossible. Particularly when we've sinned. It's impossible to do. Don't declare impossible what God has declared to be possible. But we must be convinced that we are His beloved. And He provides the means by which it is possible. We have to have the patience and cooperate with Him. That's how we express our love for Him. That's how we let God reign. And now together,